Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Allen. He's one of the employee engineers at Tab, Play Owners. And he comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And we just got notice that Wes is not going to be able to join us this morning, so that's kind of disappointing. Yeah. But we'll catch up with Wes again, and we'll talk about AI and how it's eating itself. The model might be a bit of a problem.
Yes.
And as was the dot-com bubble, if you recall, everyone was so excited about the internet back in 2000. You know, Intel was up at like 65 or was huge. Now Intel is what? Isn't like pennies now?
I don't know.
Same thing with AI. Everyone has already spent a lot of money investing in the promise of AI. But then there's these new things that have come out as far as the studies that show AI might have a problem in that if it keeps learning from other AI models, the data you might be getting is not as good as you hoped it would be.
Right. And then there's also some inherent problems with different AI models where as people give it queries, It learns literally to feed back the same things.
Right.
So that it doesn't expand in ways that it should, assuming that it's learning from the input that it gets.
Right.
It's just going to keep regurgitating the same responses. And that's another form of model collapse.
Yeah.
And they're both things are actually happening at the same time.
Rather quickly.
Yeah, it's really turning everything into a muddled mix of garbage.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases.
So not only do you get the hallucinations, you get the other models reading the hallucinations and saying, oh, yeah, glue on a pizza. That makes sense. So we'll talk to Wes another time. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we're here till 11 o'clock then to take your calls because Wes won't be joining us. 860-522-9842. And as we wait for your calls, we can talk about more technology news that you can use. This is more about the CrowdStrike fallout. A pension fund, one of many, is going to be suing CrowdStrike because they invested heavily in CrowdStrike. Basically, CrowdStrike says they're going to use some canary testing as a way to ensure it avoids future blunders leading to the global outage. Well, that really isn't enough for the shareholders of a pension fund that is going to be suing CrowdStrike because they invested a lot of money in CrowdStrike. And CrowdStrike's top executives, according to this fund, repeatedly touted the efficacy of the Falcon platform while assuring investors that CrowdStrike's technology was validated, tested, and certified. Certified by who, do you think they're doing?
Certified for what?
I know. There's no warranty that it's certified for anything. So it's certified, if you read the warranty, to do exactly nothing. So the Plymouth County Retirement Association is going to sue CrowdStrike in federal court because CrowdStrike has tanked a bit, not as much as it should as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. And they're basically saying, hey, you guys are giving us false information about the quality of your product and what it's supposed to be doing. This is just one of a zillion lawsuits that are going to be heading CrowdStrike's way. Now, if their lawyers who wrote their warranty were any good, right, they probably are not going to have to pay, but that's another issue, right? If you want attorneys generals to do something, they need to actually look at these warranties where the warranties are actually nothing. We don't warrant this product at all. It is as is, and it is as is. Whatever is. It doesn't even, it's like Clinton, whatever the definition of is. In this case, whatever is up to you. They don't warranty it for any actual merchantability of or any function it says it's claiming to have. That's pretty breathtaking. You know, it's like selling you a lawnmower and it's not intended to be a lawnmower.
Right.
You know, that's where they are. So I good luck to this retirement association. I hope they win because we need them to win. So we have better,
you do
better products. All right.
I was going to say, as a matter of fact, an investor's lawsuit isn't based on the EULA.
That's true.
So I would think that would probably give us a better chance of a better outcome.
Well, considering they said it was certified, right?
Oh, it's certified.
Yeah, certified. Yeah. Who certified it? let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Marge in East Windsor first. What's happening, Marge?
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Great program. Love it.
Thank you.
I have a Hewlett Packard printer. It's worked, you know, about 3 years, and a Toshiba laptop. Now, we printed from the email for years, and now all of a sudden it quit.
It quit printing from email?
Yes, printing email. It'll scan fine.
Okay. Now, what are you using to print email? Are you doing it in a browser, or are you doing it from an Outlook program or Thunderbird or something like that?
I don't really know. I know Outlook wants to come in as much as it keeps saying print from Outlook or you know, get your email from Outlook.
Okay.
But I don't know if that's safe.
Well,
Outlook is safe.
Yeah.
All right, so what is your mail client? What are you using to read your mail?
What do we use to read the mail, Bob? It's off the Toshiba laptop.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. That's the computer. Then you bring up a mail client like Outlook, or do you go into your browser? Are you doing it through the locks around the world there? What are you using to read your email?
I don't know. It's whatever has been there for years.
Well, that'll make it harder for us.
and Outlook, it keeps a drop-down thing. Try Outlook.
Well, all right, so you're not using Outlook, and Microsoft is doing something called NAG advertising, which is
right.
You know, it's sad they got to do it, but they do. So you're not using Outlook. Because they're telling you should. So, unfortunately, without knowing how you're reading your email, do you know where you get your email from?
Oh, Cox.
All right. So your email's coming from Cox. Are you going using your browser to get to Cox for your email? Are you using www.something?
I'd probably say Cox. Listen, Bob.
He's not helping very much, Marge, is he?
Well, what I was going to ask you is, whatever you're using in the print dialog.
Right.
When you click on print or whatever it is that you do to generate the print dialog, there should be something called destination or printer or something, and there'll be a list.
Right.
Does your printer show up in that list?
Yeah, I really don't know.
Mm.
Oh.
So it was so automatic for you, you almost didn't have to do anything.
No, we never did. It printed wonderfully. It'll scan fine. And it printed a one page when I asked for help for Hewlett Packard or something. It went from the computer, you know, to the printer.
Hmm.
But we can't print any email.
Huh.
Does it print other things or just email?
No, scans. No, I don't get anything else, just email.
No, can you create a document and print it?
I haven't tried that.
All right.
Better yet, can you go into Control Panel and generate a test page?
I've tried everything in the Control Panel or settings.
All right, and you don't get anything to print at all then?
Well, it did once. One page, I asked for some help.
Yeah, that was a while ago though, right?
What's that?
That was a while ago?
No, just yesterday.
Oh.
All of a sudden, the printer just won't come out, won't print any email at all, nothing.
Right, all of a sudden.
when
you're doing the print dialogue, when you click on print of the email, does the printer come up as an option? Do you see where it's sending it to?
No, I didn't.
That's the key that Dennis is trying to get you to look at. So when you click on the word print of that email, try to notice where you're sending that print job. Are you sending it to the Hewlett Packard? Is that your first default choice, or is it something like a PDF or some sort of file?
Oh, I don't know.
That's key.
Well, here's the situation, all right?
Yeah.
In browsers that are, in Chrome and in other browsers like it, okay, you'll see that destination printer as a pick list.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll show you like one or two of your printers. And if you want to see another one that isn't there, you have to click on a line that says see more.
Mm-hmm.
And when you click that, it should give you a complete list of all the installed printers. What may have happened is that for some reason, your HP printer got dropped off of that list and you're not seeing it in that initial dialog and it's getting sent somewhere else.
Right.
And what you need to do is click on see more, and that will show you all of the printers. And then you click on the HP,
mm-hmm.
and it'll print to that, and it should keep that. because Chrome and Chrome-based browsers have their own print management independent of the computer.
The beach ball.
Which is really stupid.
Right.
And I wish they would stop it, but they're not going to. But at any rate, that might be your problem. I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
Based on what you're telling us.
Want to give that a shot, Marge?
See more. I'll give it a shot.
All right. Yep. Let us know.
Listening since you started. This is a great show.
Thank you, Marge. We appreciate that. That was a long time ago.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's a little harder to troubleshoot.
We at TAB, we actually get tech support calls for that.
Do you?
Somebody will say, oh, we can't print from Chrome anymore.
Right.
Well, yeah, you can. You just have to
choose it.
Force it to show you the printer that you want to use. Because it won't do it on its own.
I wonder why they do that. Let's go on to Roger in East Hartford next. What's happening, Roger?
Hey.
Morning.
Well, I ran over my iPhone 13 with my lawnmower and totally annihilated it.
Wow. Why'd you do that?
Well, you know, that's what happens when they put a phone holder on a machine that didn't hold it well.
Vibrated right off. Huh?
You're right out of it. Yeah. But anyway... everybody got a good laugh at the store because they'd never seen one totally destroyed like that.
I bet they haven't.
Yeah, I mean, it's we had to bring it in a baggie. So what I ended up doing is I wanted another 13, but I needed it now. They don't make it anymore, so I ended up getting a 15 Pro. And the problem I have is in order to gain access into the cloud, I have to give it my Apple ID. I have given it my Apple ID every which way but loose, and I cannot gain access into it. If I go with another Apple ID, can I come back and regain my cloud information that's in there existing now? That's question number one.
So you're going to create a new ID is what you're saying for the new phone.
Correct. Yes.
And you're wondering if you can get into the old ID. Technically, correct. You're creating a second account. So I would contend that, yes, once you figure out how to get into the old Apple ID, you should be able to still. That makes sense to me. Now, you're going to create a new phone identity. And I don't know that you'll be able to merge that information, though.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Well, I'm not an Apple guy, but that would be how accounts work generally.
Yeah. I was not an Apple guy until I got forced into it because my other phone was obsolete.
Well, there is a way to recover an Apple ID account.
Yeah.
Okay. That you can't get into. And if it were me doing this, that's what I would try first. We can post a link to that. Apple has a method for that.
And have you contacted Apple at all for help?
I haven't spoken to Apple because I'm still a victim of that. I believe that whack out thing there that happened with Global because I can't even get into any of my emails, and that's been for about 3 weeks now. So,
well, you think the problem you're having has to do with the issue of CrowdStrike on Friday, that last Friday? Is that what you're saying?
Could be. Yeah.
No. That should not be the case. No. That is one of the issues that happens with IT, though, that people do make those logical leaps, and then that's where the phishing scams come in, and that's how people make those types of weird associations. So, no, you definitely want to try to recover that Apple ID through Apple's methods, and we'll put the link up there so you can try to recover it. Because if you create a second one, I don't think there's a way to merge that.
I would think that's something that Apple would have to do for you.
If it's possible.
Yeah. Right. Even if they can, yeah.
So don't do that. Try to use the Apple ID you think you have. Now, what was your password for the Apple ID?
Well, I have the password, but like I said, it just wouldn't, it won't match. I mean, it's not taking it.
Right. Did it have like an exclamation point in it or your pet dog's name?
Hang on. Open my book right here for forgotten passwords and I'll pay
you. Don't tell me. No, I'm just giving you a hard time. All right. But no, well, go ahead.
I was going to say Eric was onto something.
I'm onto something?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's no whatever exclamation points or anything like that.
I was going to say sometimes those special characters are hard to type on a phone.
Right.
And if somebody's put one in there as the, as part of their password, they can have trouble with it.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
So, yeah, now, recover.
This is a straightforward ID, couple of numbers, and then a simple capital, and then everything else from that was lowercase.
Yeah, let's try to recover that so you can get on. If you create a new ID, you're going to cause a mess for yourself, I think.
Okay.
And it has nothing to do with CrowdStrike.
Okay.
I promise you.
All right. I appreciate it.
All right, Roger. Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. Bye-bye. Right, so never attach your phone to your lawnmower is the moral of that story. Imagine bringing your phone in a baggie. Oh, yay, yay.
Yeah, and Mike G just let us know that Apple does not merge IDs.
It doesn't. Yeah. I didn't think so. So that'd just be a mess. Now you have two identities and...
Yeah, I wouldn't even begin to go there.
No. All right, who's on the longest next? Let's go to Jack in Glastonbury next. What's cooking, Jack?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. Hey, I've got a question for you. When I do backups, normally like what I like to do, I'm using a Windows 7 backup, which works pretty well. Normally what I do is I try to turn everything off that I don't need to have running, okay?
Yeah.
So I get, you know, I usually have Outlook on, so I terminate that. And then I have, you know, like Mozilla Firefox or whatever, I have that on. So I'll just turn all that stuff off. So basically I got a blank screen, okay?
Yeah.
Or a blank desktop. And then the other thing that I do is disable internet connectivity because I don't want any hits coming into the computer while it's doing a backup, okay?
Wow. You're taking some serious steps there,
yeah,
kid.
And then the other thing I do, well, because I've had a couple of cases where it stopped, you know, and I don't want that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So on the Windows security, I also, after I take the internet down, I turn the Windows Microsoft security, all the different options, disable those while it's doing the backup, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's pretty clean. But the one thing that bothers me, and I don't know whether I can do it or not, I subscribe to Adobe Photoshop, and what happens is it puts out a bunch of, even when it's not running, it puts out all of these helper thingies, you know. They're called Creative Cloud This. There's about seven or eight of them, Cloud
yep.
UI Helper, the Interrupt
yep.
Interprocessor Service, and then there's another one called Adobe Content Synchronizer.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm wondering is whether I can, you know, using Task Manager, just turn those... just end those tasks while I'm doing a backup, you know?
I would think so.
Yeah, you're disconnected from the cloud anyway, so nothing's
right.
going
right.
to happen.
Right,
okay.
And the worst thing about it would be you might not be able to run Photoshop while those services are shut off because one of them might be involved in activation of the software.
Yes, I understand.
But if you're disconnected from the internet, that might not even work anyway, even if it's running.
Right.
The other thing I do is during backup, I don't do anything on the machine, so I wouldn't be running Photoshop.
Right. That's why I'm saying I think it would be safe for you to do that.
Yeah.
No, okay.
You're going through an awful lot of stuff here. So I appreciate what you're trying to do. You shouldn't have to do it.
I understand.
And what worries me is that you're going to forget to turn something back on.
Uh-huh.
And any type of backup that is selective is an issue, and any kind of process that you're following there is just open to an error.
Well, the other thing, just before the back, you know, what I normally do is restart.
Yeah.
Because certain things can be hanging around that you don't know about. Like if you use an Apple iPhone
mm-hmm.
and you're hooking it in to get the data, your pictures off or something,
yep.
you think you've disconnected it, and then 10 minutes later it brings up, and you've actually disconnected it, you know,
the
real way. It'll come up with a message on iPhone is still connected, and you can't get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to do like a I talked about this last week, the reboot or the boot. This is all crap, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you have to do with Microsoft, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the desktop is pretty clean from the boot, and there's nothing running except, you know, I'll bring Task Manager up just to see what's out there.
Yeah.
And I disable the internet connection and my virus because I don't need virus checking while it's doing a backup.
While you're disconnected.
Yeah.
That's your theory. Yeah, that's fine. I understand why you're doing all that. How often do you backup?
Once a month.
Okay. So I bet you do that because it's such a pain in the butt to turn everything off. So I would contend that you've gotten into an unusual backup process that may actually not help you, is going to harm you because you're backing up only once a month. It's better than nothing, don't get me wrong. I would prefer you to back up more often, right, and have it more automated. Is the operating system Windows 7? Did you say that?
No, that's a backup tool that I use. He's using
the Windows 7 version backup in Windows 10 or 11.
I got you. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So I would tell you that what you're doing is probably, you know, we totally understand why you're doing it, right? We understand because we don't want your backup to fail or stop working because something kicks in and causes an interruption. Mm. But if you can get a more regular image-based backup that happens more often, especially if you're doing anything on that computer that you wouldn't want to lose, like if you're writing a book or if you're doing any kind of graphical work, you'd want to update it more often than once a month. And that would just stink. Like if you backed it up, you know, yesterday, the first or what have you, early part of August, and then you don't do it again until the end of the August, and you've written four chapters and it blows up, you know? So, I mean, we appreciate what you're doing. It's just, I worry that you're actually going to, when you need it, you're going to be like, darn it, I wish I backed up more. And just let it do it automatically.
But what tool would you recommend that I use? Because
I'll tell you what I use. We used to recommend a Chinese product, but I couldn't do it anymore. I use Acronis True Image.
How do you spell that?
Acronis, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Now they don't sell True Image anymore as an independent retail product.
Right.
They have something called Acronis Home Security or something.
Correct.
That includes it.
But you don't need to subscribe to the other
But you don't
stuff.
Need to, right. You don't need to be running the antivirus or whatever else goes with it. You can just use it for backups.
And that's what I do.
And the other thing is, if you've purchased a drive like from Seagate or Western Digital, and if you've put that into the computer, then you can go to either Seagate or Western Digital and get yourself
a free copy.
Special free version of Acronis, which is just the True Image.
Yep.
And we'll do the backup.
It works really well.
Either one will do fine.
Let me ask you, when you're talking about an image, you're talking about like it just makes a copy.
It's a full image of the operating system. It's going to do a full image, and then I do incrementals.
What about your data? What does it do with that?
It's part of the image.
It backs up the entire drive.
Okay. In the past, before I was using the Windows backup tool, I was doing these incrementals, which is all right.
Yeah.
But then you have to, you know, it's kind of crazy when you have to recover when you're doing incrementals.
You're right.
What I've been doing is full backup.
Yep.
Does this Acronis support that? Or
it does support full, and it does support the incrementals. I do a combination.
And it will also do differentials if you want to go that route.
Differential.
Correct.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
It does all those.
We're getting into calculus now, you know?
Yep.
Yes.
You are, but you're going to get more backed up. That's the key. And you won't have to do as much that you're doing for that solution, Jack.
You're coming up on a hard break. Is there a way I could ask another question? I've got an Outlook question.
Yeah, we'll put you on hold. We have a couple folks, but we'll put you on hold if you don't mind.
All right. Yeah, thanks.
You got it. That's a man who knows how the show works. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. So, Jack, Marla, and Grant, hang on. One line open for you. This is Computer Talk. Everything's been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. We'll be right back.
Computer Talk with Tab is powered by GoNet Speed, bringing you lightning-fast fiber internet. Visit GoNetSpeed.com for pricing and availability.
All right, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, and we got lots of calls to go through, so thank you guys for avoiding talking about our kids and our cats. We're going to go back to Jack, who had a question about Outlook before we move on. What's going on, Jack? What was your last question about Outlook?
Yeah, just a quick thing.
Yeah.
I use Outlook with, you know, and I have PSTs that are located on my D drive. My C drive is sort of like my system area, and it's not very big compared to the D drive.
Yep.
And Outlook wants the Outlook .pst to be on a C drive. I don't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have it doing auto archive, and so it has this archive.pst on the C drive. So my question is, can I just move that archive guy, which is fairly large, over to my D drive?
Yeah, you can move that. Yeah, there's no problem with that.
Just remember where you put it.
Remember where you put it, and you got to make sure in your Outlook profile that you're pointing it to, you're pointing Outlook to the right place. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
And you just go into the profile settings and put it there. But what I would do is I would copy the file where you want it to end up and then point Outlook to it and then delete the other one because you don't want two of them hanging around creating confusion later.
Right, or rename it.
Or rename it in a way that tells you that it's an extra copy of the same data.
Right, so in case you have to undo everything, you don't lose something.
Or maybe even put the date that you copy the file in the file name so that you know when it ended.
Yep.
All right.
Hey, sounds great. That's good. Thank you very much.
You got it, sir. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
All right, let's move on to Grant in Glastonbury next. Let's cook in there, Grant.
Hello?
Hello. Yeah, we're here.
Okay. Hey, you guys do a great show. Love it. Keep it up.
Thank you.
I've got we got an HP EliteBook, so it's like a mobile workstation, but it came loaded with HP Wolf Security.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is a home computer, this is pretty complex stuff. I never really got deep into it or anything, but it's been running for almost a year, and now it popped up. It says, well, you need to renew, and we haven't done it. So what it's done is it's apparently disabled it now, and it says either renew or delete it off the machine. There's several pieces to HP Wolf Security, and I just don't know how to go about this. I don't want to break the system, but if I go into the system and go to delete or remove apps, there's three items in here that have the wolf head on them.
Right.
And I don't know whether you do one of those at a time or can you select all three?
You have to do them in a particular order.
You do this often probably, I think.
We've done it a time or two.
Yeah.
Dab.
I'll bet you have.
Yeah.
You're gonna remove the one that's called HP Wolf Security first. Just those three words. Then you're gonna remove HP Wolf Security dash console.
Okay, that's underneath it. Okay, then.
And then the third one is HP Security Update Service. That's the third one you remove.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. And you do, what do you do them individually in that order?
In that order, correct.
Does he reboot in between?
He does not have to reboot in the middle. We can post a link to an article from HP about it. And it'll just tell you what I just explained.
And then what'll kick in is your Defender will kick in from Microsoft.
Okay, so on this machine, it's not on this machine. It's on my router. I've got OpenDNS.
Nice job.
Well, that's an extra layer, so that's
very cool.
You get a
gold star.
So just on the individual machine, after I delete Wolf, we just use Windows Defender.
Yep, that'll kick in.
And I would reboot after you've done those three. You don't need to reboot after each.
And then you'll be running the prescribed approach that we've prescribed for probably a good 10 years now.
Yeah, give or take.
We have been okay. I mean, the whole CrowdStrike thing does give us more pause again, but that's just me. We've been okay with Defender protecting itself from Microsoft's issues, which is recursive. But that's what we've got going here. So, yeah, it's been okay. If you've got OpenDNS running, you're in much better shape. You're much safer.
All by itself, that gives you a lot of protection right there.
Right, right. Okay, now, just if I can get a little extension on this, I also got a ZBook.
Yep.
which is one of the earlier, it's an earlier version too.
Yeah.
That has Wolf on it, but I don't know whether that was a freebie or a lifetime or whatever. I don't think I've seen where I had to do a renew on that. I've been running that machine for 2.5 years or more.
They've been kind of messing around with that for a while. When they first put it on computers, it just ran.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no subscription involved.
Yeah.
What I'm wondering is if the version that you've got on there on that computer is one of those older versions that doesn't nag you.
I suspect it is, and so I don't know whether just to leave that alone.
I would remove it. Hmm. I would remove it if you've got Defender and you're protected by OpenDNS.
You can't even be sure it's being updated.
Yeah, and right, correct. If it's an older version anyway, then it's probably not going to do you much good to begin with. So I would just get rid of it.
Okay, because here's another piece on this ZBook is I'm running malware bytes on it.
Yep.
Okay.
And I've never really had any problems with it. So
right.
And actually, I've got some other machines here which we run malware bytes on with the OpenDNS. So I can just continue to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you like the malware bytes, leave that.
Well, the only problem is these things get more complex with time, you know?
Oh, yeah.
They want you to update and renew, and all of a sudden now they split it up into all kinds of different features and everything else, and I don't understand it all. But anyway.
Yeah, well, there's the threats are not as simple as the love bug virus anymore.
And yeah, well, that's true, right?
And that's where CrowdStrike kind of got in trouble, where they were right into the kernel. The threats are much more prevalent, and we have to protect so many more vectors of access that.
Oh yeah,
you know it's complicated.
I'm sure AI is going to fix all that for us.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Probably not in our lifetime.
All right, I think you've answered my question. I appreciate it very much.
Our pleasure, Grant. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bye bye.
Bye.
That's the thing about even in our client base, the levels of security that we have to put in place from EDR to MDR to web and mail. Defense technologies, two-factor authentication. There's so many services and systems that we're putting in to protect you from Microsoft that we, it's very complicated. And it's just not, I wish the days of Lovebug. Lovebug is like a walk in the park, and that brought down lots of systems, right? I mean, it just flooded and just brought down lots of systems, that silly little virus. Now it's so much more expensive to get a virus because you're more likely it's going to be ransomed.
Yeah.
Let's go on to Marla in Torrington. What's going on, Marla?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I talked to you last week about cable versus fiber.
Okay.
And so I checked out if I can get fiber, and I'm being told by the monopoly that it's not available here. I've been advocating for GoNetSpeed since you first talked about it, but I have no idea when they're coming, so I'm calling to see if there's a way to find out when fiber will be in my area.
Well, yeah, I mean, most of the providers, you can put your address in and see, if they cover, they're in the area. You can always reach out to the customer service of these companies to see if they're coming in the area. You may want to reach out to your mayor. Look what Aaron Stewart did in New Britain. She did a public-private partnership with GoNetSpeed to bring fiber internet to her town. She took the initiative, right? I mean, I'm not sure who the mayor of Torrington is, or if there even is a mayor or town council, but you can ask
them. Yeah,
there is. Ask those guys and say, hey, what are we doing about, I know you're in the sticks, but, you guys deserve high-speed internet too, don't you?
That's what I think.
Yeah.
I mean, with the cable bill just went up. It went up $15.
Yep. Oh. What do you pay per month?
I was paying like $63.
Yeah.
And then they shot it up to $80.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
And all I'm getting is the internet.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So that combined with my phone bill, which is also an argument on the phone, they offered me their special, of course, of the combination internet and phone. But I really hate giving up Verizon because they've served me well in my area.
Yeah, they're desperate to give you stickiness with that mobile phone line that nobody uses. Yeah,
but when you live out in Torrington, you've got to have a good cell service.
I agree.
Yeah,
exactly.
Is there anybody else that lives with you in the home that doesn't have the same last name?
No.
Okay. Well, you could always give them a different last name. The point is you can cancel the service and sign up a new service, and you get the new customer discount. Magically, that price is half of what you're paying. Isn't that nice of them?
Well, that's what Optimum offered me.
The customer service person actually said that?
Well, I told them to send me to the canceling people.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I wasn't getting anywhere with the representative.
Right.
And he offered me some deal of 20-something for my internet and 20-something for the phone.
Right. All right. Well, that's not a bad deal. That gets you back to where you were. But yeah, check with your, check with the other folks that are out there. See if and when they're coming. Reach out to your town council or your mayor and say, hey, are you going to, maybe you can do it, look what Aaron did. You're going to say, hey, go check out what Aaron did. And let's see if we can bring in a company like GoNetSpeed to get high-speed internet. You know, if a place in Massachusetts that was known for its buggy whips can create their own internet service, there's no reason Torrington can.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, exactly. I mean, it sounds ridiculous that in this time and space that we're having to wait forever for fiber.
Yep, it does. But, land of steady habits here in Connecticut.
Oh, gosh, yes. And behind closed doors.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much for your help.
All right. Good luck, Marla. Let us know how it goes. We'd love to know.
Oh, I just want to ask you last thing about this. What do you think of that deal of the combined internet and phone where I have to give up my current provider for
phone? You don't have to give it up. They're going to sell you a phone line you're never going to use, right? So say, fine, I'll take it, but you're just not going to migrate to it. You don't care.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you don't have to use it. They can't make you cancel Verizon, but you can say, yeah, I'll take that deal, and you're just not going to use the number. The problem is, again, when it renews or whenever it changes price, it'll go back up. But to get that deal, I would take them up on it.
Okay, so just stick with it and keep doing what I'm doing with my phone.
Yeah, you don't have any other alternatives. You can also check for Verizon to see what they have for home cellular service up there. If you like Verizon that much, you could maybe literally cut the cable and go with a wireless internet service. That might be also something they may not like to hear, but that'll work.
I checked out their site to see if I could do it that way.
Yeah.
But again, it comes down to fiber, and it's not in my area.
No, it's not fiber. They do offer home cellular.
It's a cellular hotspot for your entire house.
Yeah, so check that out with Verizon and or T-Mobile. They're both in that $50 range.
Okay.
All right, there's options.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Have a great day, guys.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So yeah, if you can't get the fiber, go wireless. Let's go to Janet in East Hartford next. What's going on,
Hi
Janet?
There.
Hi.
Hi. This is Eric.
Yeah, it's Eric and Dennis. Yep.
Hi, Eric and Dennis. I have, a mechanical issue. I have an HP ProBook laptop about 5 years old, and it has the lighted underneath, where the letters are.
Yeah, backlit keyboard.
Yeah. And the letter H and the backspace won't work. They're stuck somehow.
Yeah. You got a little coffee in there?
No.
A little soda pop?
No. Maybe a little water, because I don't drink it. It's at the kitchen table.
Yeah.
So is there a way to...
Did you open your electric bill and spit your coffee all over your keyboard?
I did that this morning, yeah. And it wasn't, the problem was the coffee wasn't strong enough.
No.
So is there a way to undo this, or should I bring this somewhere, or...
You got something sticky under there. So when you tap it, it doesn't work, right?
Correct.
Yeah, there's something gooey under there, I'm guessing. The contact's not being made anymore.
Okay.
It could be a bad keyboard. So believe it or not, you can replace the entire keyboard on a laptop.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, but you shouldn't do it yourself. I mean, I wouldn't recommend doing it yourself.
No, I wouldn't do that.
How old is it?
Oh, it's about 5 years old. It's a Core 15 10th generation.
Okay, so it's up there in age. i5, you're saying a Core i5?
Yeah.
Is what?
You're saying it's a Core i5, not a Core 15. It looks
Yes, I'm sorry.
That's
yes,
okay.
Core i5.
Right. So 5 years old. So here's the thing. I'm not sure. I would get a price if you wanted to get that repaired. I'd bring it down to Staples and see if they'll pop the keyboard off. Yeah.
Okay.
Unless you have another idea, Dennis.
Well, Best Buy. Geek Squad desk.
See what that might be. I would guess it's going to be a couple hundred dollars, maybe $250 or so. Wow. And then you're going to say, yeah, you know what? I'll just spend the money on a new one. Or you can just buy a little $25 external keyboard, plug that into your laptop, and now that's your keyboard.
And what kind of?
Any external keyboard. You plug in a USB keyboard and you're done.
Oh, okay.
That works
and
too.
Most places sell that too, like Staples.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So. Well, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So that's an easy way to do it, but when it's not really worth it if it's going to be a couple hundred bucks in a five-year-old computer.
Yeah, I don't know if I would be doing that.
So four lines wide open. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. Mark your calendars, as clearly I didn't, for September 21st, right, Dennis?
That's right.
Our great e-cycling is our second annual e-cycling, where we're going to help you e-cycle your equipment. You can be a business, you can be a home user, bring in your computers down to East Hartford, our world headquarters of Tab Computer Systems, right there on Bissell Street. There's a brand new mural there saying, welcome to East Hartford. Very, very nice, very pretty. So you can't miss it. So September 21st, put it on your calendar, and we will responsibly recycle your electronic equipment. It'll cost you nothing. It won't end up in a landfill. And a North Korean won't get a hand on it unless you ship your stuff to North Korea like Nobifor did. But that's a whole other issue. So as we're waiting for your calls, you want to talk about anything there, Dennis? Any technology news that they can use?
Well, I wanted to talk about what's going on with the Android market or Google Play Store.
Yes.
There's some malware that's been hiding in some apps. Fortunately, not apps that most people are going to have. These are rarely installed. However, there's malware that's been in these apps, known malware called Mandrake.
Mandrake, yep.
And it's been there for years. And Google's never detected it. That's the problem.
Yeah.
They never detected it. As a matter of fact, the people who put the apps up have even updated them.
Right. Which improved the malware.
Yeah, they fixed the malware to make it better, and and that actually gave Google more opportunities to vet the software.
And they did.
Because every time that someone updates something in the market, Google scans the app package to see what's in it and figure out if there's anything funky about it.
Yep.
So they've had all these opportunities to detect it and never did.
Right. And both of us are not surprised.
No, of course not.
But you should be. So the real moral of this story is just because you can load an app doesn't mean you should. All right. You need to make sure the source of your app. I mean, there's so many games out there. There's so many flavors of Tetris. There's so many flavors of Solitaire. There's so many flavors of utilities that people are just slamming on your phone. And then right next to that app is your banking app, right, that you probably use to do all sorts of stuff, deposit checks, log into your accounts, yada, yada, yada. And the thing about these malicious apps is they're trying to scrape your credentials.
Right.
And literally remove money. They talk about like $15,000 limits or something like that, which is based on your bank app, I guess. So that's really the moral of the story. If you don't really need it on your phone, don't put it on your phone. And, you know, remove whatever apps you're not using on your phone, because you never know if they've ever been legitimate in the first place.
Right. And as a matter of fact, I went through the process of replacing my phone just a month or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
And during the process of setting it up, it'll ask you if you want to get all of the apps that were on your old phone.
Mm.
And I purposely said no.
Right.
Don't just install everything.
Right.
I want to find out if I'm actually using any of this stuff.
Right.
So, yeah, I just got a bare minimum of the apps that I wanted. And one by one, I'm adding them back as I find that I need them.
Right.
So if you ever go through the process of replacing your phone, do that. It's a good way to clean that up so that you're not You don't have too many apps that are just dead space.
And for all you Apple users out there who think this is not affecting you, it does.
It does.
It does. It does.
There's malware in iPhone apps too.
Yeah.
Absolutely there is.
So same exact advice for you guys, and probably more because for some reason you guys think you're like omnipotent. You're not going to be impacted at all. You think you're just never going to have a problem. Trust me, you are.
You are going to have a problem.
Yeah. So do the same thing. Don't have a bunch of junk on that phone that you do not need, because these companies can't be trusted to test this stuff. And for some reason, they'd rather throw it all up there rather than check it versus not having it up there. They should be more restrictive, but they're not. They'll let anybody, because here's the reason why. They want the VIG, right? Apple gets what, 30%?
Yeah.
That's a heavy VIG.
And Google gets about the same from their market.
Right. So they're incentivized to not make sure that the app is safe. They're incentivized to collect that 30% VIG on whatever they're going to sell you within the app. And that's the problem. So be aware of it. In other news, ransomware infections cuts off blood supply to 250-plus hospitals. So this is the time of season, and we've heard it even on the radio station here at WTIC, that the Red Cross needs people to donate blood badly. Well, a ransomware attack against a blood donation nonprofit, One Blood, which services more than 250 American hospitals, has significantly reduced the organization's ability to take, test, and distribute blood. You can't make this stuff up here as far as these bad guys and what they'll do. They don't care who you are, what you are. If the email gets to you and they ransom you, you're down.
Right.
So you're going to deal with they have to go now back to a manual process that takes significantly longer to perform. And that what happens is it impacts the inventory and availability. The other aspect of this is we really need to make sure our failovers work. Same thing that Delta found out didn't happen when they had to touch 40,000 servers. How much technology do you really need to stick a needle in my arm and take my blood? I can tell you don't need a lot, right?
Ideally, you shouldn't, right?
Right. You should have a clipboard. Ah, Eric, here you go. I'll put you over here. They'll take your blood and here's a cookie. I mean, shouldn't be that big a deal. But it is, so because we've gotten everything so automated and connected. So this is, again, just another example of how you have to decide how you're going to operate if all your Windows computers are down. And if you haven't listened to the show long enough, I can guarantee you all your Windows computers will be down at some point. I mean, I can bet not just my third kid, I can bet all my kids that's going to happen. So we need to do a better job on our DR. We need to do a better job on hardening our processes, unless you don't care if your business is down, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe you don't care. Cool with that.
Yeah. Maybe not collecting blood is okay with you. I don't know. Maybe the Delta CEO is okay with 40,000 servers. Well, it turns out he's not, but he didn't do enough as the CEO to prevent it before it went down. And that's where the snag is, right? So think about it more, folks that are in charge, how to harden your systems, talk to your IT people. Yes, they may not explain it well, but you got to ask the questions. Mm-hmm. Hey, if all my are we running Windows? Most of them are going to say yes. If all of them go down, how long will it be to get back up and running? The other aspect of this too is if you have cyber insurance, the cyber insurance folks may not let you touch the systems that are impacted because they want to make sure that you were wearing your seatbelt, or you weren't, or you didn't have some sort of pit bull in your house, and you didn't have a trampoline in there, right? They're going to double check to make sure you said that you had two-factor authentication running. They're going to make sure you had an EDR or MDR running. And before they pay out that thing, pay out your benefit, they're going to check to make sure you have those in place, meaning you may not be able to even start the recovery. So be careful there as well. You may need to actually pick up 40,000 servers in a short amount of time. Would that be something possible?
I don't know. I don't think that's too easy anymore.
No. The issue of Delta was pretty obvious. We know what happened. But if Delta was ransomed in a different way, they might find that they couldn't touch their 40,000 servers.
Right.
Lots of issues here. I want to thank you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. I want to thank GoNetSpeed for making us commercial free. Thank Carolyn for producing as always. Mike G for posting everything over at our Computer Talk with Tab listener network. If you're on Facebook and you want to join that group, feel free to. Also, if you follow us on X at Tab Computer Assist, everything gets to your newsfeed. Thank Dennis for posting everything over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com. And yes, a little quick brag here. Dennis and I won our second gold.com award for our program. So, yay. Nice job. Us. But thank you guys. You guys make the show worth being here for, because if you're not talking to us, we're talking about our kids and our cats, and that's no fun.
No. And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
See you guys next Saturday.